My Peace, a Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
It will look like suffering, like death, like the worst thing that could ever happen. But Jesus assures them, it is my peace, and I give it to you.
And for any size donation during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the first Pentecost. You can make a special Easter gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for keeping us in mind during the 50 days of Easter.
Well, there are some hymns that you learn as a parish pastor. You will sing on certain days. If it's Christmas Eve, then it certainly is going to be Silent Night. Or, after the service, someone may politely or not so politely remind their pastor that that is the chief hymn for that observance, and you will sing it. Well, perhaps the hymn that we're going to study on this Thursday afternoon with Pastor Will Whedon is that for Easter, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. So familiar that sometimes by familiarity, we grow to disregard what it actually has to say and what it actually proclaims and what it delivers to us. We're going to be studying this great Easter hymn. Jesus Christ is risen today, and the word that is heard again and again and again and cannot be said too many times. Alleluia. For the season of Easter, Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. It's Thursday, April the 8th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Will Whedon is a regular guest. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He joins us here in the studio for our Easter hymn study, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Will, welcome back.
Thank you. Joy to be with you today.
Okay. Have you ever made the mistake of not having your congregation sing this hymn on a Easter service?
You know, I've always used this hymn every Easter, but we have two entirely different Easter services at St. Paul's. Our early service, our sunrise, is always Matins, and that's it's a different service than the divine service later that day at 9 o'clock. So one year I did think, you know, I'm just going to save this goodie for the late service and not use it at the early service. And one of my dear parishioners, a dear friend I love, David, he's like, Pastor, we didn't sing that hymn. And I said, David, what do you mean? That hymn, you know, that hymn. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is risen today. Yeah, that hymn. We didn't sing it today. So now, always, in fact, this past Easter, or a week ago, David's wife was at vigil, and she said, now tomorrow, which service are we singing that hymn that David likes at? And I said, don't worry, you got it at both services. He can come to either one and be okay.
Why do you think it is that this hymn, so familiar as it is, has become so strongly associated with not just Easter, but also with the day of resurrection, the day upon which the church actually observes that, not just the season, and then also to a lesser degree with Christian funerals?
Yeah, I think the hymn itself has a melody that is so strong that it simply captures joy. And when people have been starved for the Alleluia, as you know, liturgical Christians of the Western stripe, we don't have Alleluia in our church services for all of Lent.
We fast from
Alleluia, and you know it's painful. What's substituted in its place in many places is called the tract, which is, you know, from the Latin word for drawn out. It's this drawn out lament from the Psalms that it replaces this joyous Alleluia. And so the people, by about, you know, week two of Lent, they're already getting itchy at that point. And by the time you're done Lent and Easter arrives, you're just dying to say this word. And the Easter liturgy is replete with it. But I think for most of our people, the joy of singing this word, that where it really comes back, is when they get to sing it in this song. This song, which is it's simple. It's not hard. It's beautiful. You don't get tired of singing. I don't think anybody ever gets tired of singing this hymn. You think about how few Easters you celebrate in your life. You think this is a what a joy to be able to stand with the people of God and let this song rip.
What is this hymn's biblical theme?
The hymn's biblical theme is that the resurrection of Jesus is the source of all joy. And the repeated alleluias throughout the hymn are expressions of this joy. When Christ defeats death, when he rises from the dead, and we know then that our sins are wiped out and gone, and that he's given to us a life that's never going to end, how can we not be shouting and singing and dancing for joy? This hymn, you know, literally dances along with its beautiful melody.
Can you tell us about the author of this hymn and the musician who wrote the tune? Do we know much about either?
Can't say anything about either one. The hymn itself is based on an old Latin. You know, people shaped it along the years, but Hodie, Surrexo Christus Hodie, was just a standard Latin hymn sometime maybe 1400s, 1500s. We're not really sure, but came to be very popular. The, you know, I don't remember about the composer, actually. Does it give a composer in the hymnal?
No, it's just Lyra Davidica. And it says 1708.
In other words, it shows up. I mean, and shows up, you know, in a collection. But the hymn itself, nobody knows when or how it came to be. And most of the best hymns are in that category.
Before we get into the stanzas themselves, talk about the relationship between this hymn and, I mean, it's so much more than a liturgical response. The greeting of Easter, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, alleluia, which seems to kind of be this hymn in a nutshell.
Oh yeah, the joy of Christ's resurrection is at the heart, core, and center of the hymn. And when the Easter proclamation rings out, you know, alleluia, alleluia, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, alleluia. And we say that, but you know, those are words that you just can't. If you just said it, it wouldn't be enough, because the joy of the resurrection calls forth song. It calls forth singing, and especially. What we can maybe talk about in a little bit here, the melismatic singing of the Alleluia. That is the chief feature of this hymn is the word Alleluia. It's repeated 16 times throughout the hymn. I mean, it's not a long hymn. It's only got four stanzas, but the word Alleluia occurs at the end of every line of the hymn, just underscoring. And there's a really, maybe we should talk about it. I mean, there's a neat musical convention that, if you look at it, the melisma. How do I describe
that? What is that?
Yeah, okay. The church has psalmatic music and melismatic music, the vast majority of psalmatic music it is music that where the big thing is the text and what it says and conveys. But the church also has this experience of melisma, which is where there is less text than there are notes, if I can put it this way. There's more. There are four syllables to the word Alleluia. Four syllables. But if you look at this hymn, those four syllables at the end of line one are spread over 10 notes. At the end of line two, over 10 notes. At the end of line three, over 10 notes. And at the end of line four, over 11 notes. So hear the melody. Is the bigger thing than the word. Alleluia literally means praise the Lord, but it's actually being used as a cry of joy. Remember Psalm 16, the end of Psalm 16, it says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. And so the church has used this word, alleluia, and these long, drawn-out, beautiful melodies that accompany it to express her joy and delight in the presence of her risen Lord. She has no other word that she can use to begin to convey that. So the emotion, if you will, of the word is bigger than its literal meaning.
Okay, the first stanza of Jesus Christ is risen today. Jesus Christ is risen today, alleluia. Our triumphant holy day, alleluia. Who did once upon the cross, alleluia, suffer to redeem our loss, alleluia.
Thank you.
The first stanza of Jesus Christ is Risen today. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. Will, we've got about a minute before we take a break. It's in the present tense. It always is in Easter. It's not Jesus Christ was risen today. Why present tense proclamation of the resurrection?
We have to really go into that in detail. Hodiei, today, rings throughout the church's liturgy on all of these occasions as the Word of God brings the gift of the reality that happened 2,000 years ago and plops it down into our life as a present thing for us to rejoice, celebrate, and receive as a gift from the Lord right now. We become witnesses to what to the great events that happen through the proclamation of the Word.
If we relegate the resurrection to past tense, not that we can always avoid doing that, but if we do, what are we perhaps inadvertently confessing? About 30 seconds.
If you put it in the past tense, same thing as putting your baptism in the past tense, an event from the past that has no ongoing significance for the future. No, this is an event that shapes the Christian's very way of living in this world until the day they die. In fact, they're able to die the way they die because of the resurrection, knowing that it is an ongoing present reality. He's risen into a life that does not end.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're studying the Easter hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. It's Thursday afternoon, April the 8th. When we come back from this break, well, there's so much more in this first stanza, and you don't have to go far past the Alleluia into the second line, where the day of Christ's resurrection is called our triumphant holy day. Straight from Christ's victory to our triumph. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
Days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over Casserole Inn. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown in Kirkwood and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
Why do you listen to Issues Etc.? We're preparing for a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. on Wednesday, April 14th and Thursday, April 15th, and we want to hear from you. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8384. Why do you listen to Issues Etc.? 618-223-8384.
Lutheran Radio in Exile, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video, A Cloud of Witnesses.
What went for Mary, the angel speaks in her ear and changes who she is precisely what happens to every Christian. The Lord speaks and he changes you.
James is a great example to us of sober-minded churchmanship.
The cross looms over all of John's ministry. It's about the cross, the Lamb of God.
We see in Nicholas his love of Jesus Christ acting out in mercy for his neighbors. And we see a role model there that we can imitate.
The church, when she sets the day aside to remember St. Elizabeth, is remembering this shining light of benevolent charity and humility.
It's not a popular position, you know, to stand for true doctrine, and yet that's what Ambrose does.
You can watch A Cloud of Witnesses, our new YouTube video, under the support page at issuesetc.org, Historic, Authentic Christian Radio. Issues, etc.
Welcome back to Issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the Easter hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. It's Thursday afternoon, April the 8th. Well, that date might remind you that we are close upon 2 years after the return of Issues, etc. to the airwaves. And one of the things I'd like to hear from you with reflection upon those 2 years of broadcasting Issues, etc. anew, is why you listen to Issues, etc. I can guess, but I'd like to hear it from you yourself. I'd like to actually hear your voice on the Issues, etc. comment line answering that question. Why do you listen to Issues, etc.? The comment line number, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. You can call anytime. Leave your answer to the question, why do you listen to Issues, etc., 618-223-8384. Well, we've only done one line.
we haven't even really done that.
Yeah.
I mean, we really do. We should talk about what risen means.
Sure.
You know, when we say he's risen today, we're talking about our Lord entering into, I mean, he raised in incorruption. He raised people from the dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead. The little girl, Jairus' daughter, raised from the dead. The widow of Nain's son, raised from the dead. All of them were raised, and yet they weren't resurrected. They weren't changed in their raising. They were just raised. And so they were
given
raised,
back the life that they
given
had
back
before.
To a corruptible creation and life. But when Jesus is raised from the dead, he is raised in incorruption. His body is unfallapartable. You know, it's never going to fall apart. It is absolutely incorruptible and the source of incorruption. And so, I mean, here is a human being who is forever beyond the grip of the grave. I mean, there is no smell. I mean, I always loved seeing in John 20 when Jesus comes and he breathes on his disciples. Do you like it when someone breathes on you? Of course you don't. Because why? Their breath stinks because it's the smell of corruption inside of us, you know? But inside of Christ, there is no corruption. That breath that day was like the gentle zephyr of spring. I mean, it was like flowers on the air. I mean, it was a breath that will never die or decay again. So it was a life-giving breath full of the Holy Spirit. And when we talk about him being risen from the dead, we're saying this is the beginning of the renewal of all creation. It wasn't just him. And that's why, as you pointed out, the second line, our triumphant holy day. This is how Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then it is coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to the Father after destroying every rule and authority and power. So Christ being raised is the first fruits, you know, the beginning of the harvest. It's starting, but there's a whole bunch more to come. And so here's a human being that's going now in this immortal life, and he has been raised to this immortal life as the sign and promise that he will raise us all to this immortal life. As he would say, I am the resurrection and the life.
Who did once upon the cross suffer to redeem our loss? We don't usually think of sin, the fall into sin, as loss, but we tend to think of it as kind of like a stain put upon, something added into creation that corrupted it. But this is not the traditional way that the church thinks about sin. It does think about sin as loss and deficiency, something taken away from the good creation.
Sure. And because of sin, we lost dominion. Remember, God created Adam to have dominion over the earth. And instead, humanity ended up being the slave, a slave to an angel. I mean, you know, they were made to be our servants, and we end up being a slave to this fallen angel. So Jesus is going to redeem our loss. He's going to, by what he does upon his cross, he actually takes humanity. Our first father had taken humanity and handed it over to Satan. So then Jesus on the cross takes it from Satan and hands humanity back to the Father. And that is the gain then of our dominion. Now at the right hand of God, our brother, ruling all things, our brother, sharing our flesh and blood. So that Paul can say, you know, we reign with him.
Redeemer, redemption, is a very Easter word. We hear it ring out at the beginning of a funeral service, if properly conducted. I know, for the words from Job, mm-hmm. I know that my Redeemer lives on the last day, who will stand upon the earth, and I will see him with my own eyes. Even after my flesh has wasted away. Take us into that word briefly.
Well, that word has you know, it redeemer is short for really kinsman redeemer. The goel, the word that Job uses there, is the kinsman
who is going, you know, the one who can buy you back from when you've fallen into slavery. It was the obligation of your nearest relative to come and get you out of slavery and bring you back.
A free person.
A free person. And bring you into his freedom by purchasing your, you know, paying the purchase price for your redemption. And it's the same word used in Ruth there for what Boaz does for Ruth and Naomi, buys them back, if you will, puts them back into the family.
Why? I mean, some would say this is Easter. Why take us back to the cross?
Why the cross?
Why suffer?
Cross? Yeah. Why can't it just be all joy? Well, because the church has always viewed the Paschal mystery as a single event from the cross to Easter. They hang together. By dying, he destroyed death. By rising again, he restored immortality and eternal life. He did both together. And so the triumph of the cross is its vindication, you know, if you will. Easter is the vindication of the offering on Good Friday. They go hand in hand together always.
Stanza 2 of Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Hymns of praise then let us sing, Alleluia, unto Christ our heavenly King, Alleluia, who endured the cross and grave, Alleluia, sinners to redeem and save, Alleluia. Will, what are your thoughts on this second stanza or the second set of four lines here, if you would?
Yeah, the hymns of praise always, grabs a hold of me. The resurrection is, as I said, the wellspring of the church's joy. My mind is taken back to two passages in Isaiah. We remember in Isaiah 12, you will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord God is my salvation, my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation, and you'll say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the people, proclaim that his name is exalted, sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let it be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This resurrection of Jesus is the wellspring of the church's joy. And Isaiah really had, you know, literally the destruction of death in mind as the cause for great joy. You see that in his 25th chapter, where he talks about this mountain. And he says, you know, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. He will swallow up on this mountain the covering that's cast over all people, the veil spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. And then on that day, you're going to say, this is our God. We waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We've waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. So this big victory over death is the cause of the church's explosive joy and praise during this season.
It says, who endured the cross and grave? And we obviously go back to the passage where he endured the cross, despising its shame, but it strikes me that no other person who was ever crucified and killed that way endured the cross. They didn't come through the cross.
They didn't make it through. No. Yeah. Who for the joy set before it. Right. He with his eyes focused on the joy of returning humanity to the Father, he endured everything that the cross inflicted upon him so that sin and death would lose their power over us. And I think it's really important, sinners to redeem and save. Sinners. It wasn't to save the righteous who don't need repentance because they already live in repentance. It was to save the unrighteous. That is, the people who are really honest to God, broken down human beings. He buys them back. He heals them. Is, you know, both things. 1 John 1, beautiful passage, says, you know, to forgive us our, you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, or we call justification and sanctification, both his doing, both his gifts. And this the church rejoices in. And so on Easter, she proclaims, it's for you. I don't care who you are out there. It's for you. Well, this resurrection is for you. This victory is for you. He did what he did to redeem you. I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care what you've done. It was for you.
When we come back, stanza 3 of Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. And we're studying this hymn this Thursday afternoon, the 8th of April, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A grisly scene in Philadelphia.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The death of a woman in a Philadelphia abortion clinic last November has led to the closing of the clinic and the suspension of the owner's medical license. Investigators looking into the death found, quote, deplorable and unsanitary conditions, and they determined that an unlicensed worker was illegally performing medical procedures at the clinic. Sadly, this clinic has been in business for over 30 years. Investigators later found dozens of late-term fetuses in a freezer, some of which seem to date back to 1979.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying this hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today, with Pastor Will Wheaton. This is Issues Etc. You can read the text of this hymn under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Well, I'd like to press on to stanza 3, if we could. But the pains which he endured, alleluia, our salvation have procured, alleluia. Now above the sky he's king, alleluia. Where the angels ever sing, alleluia. Back at the cross again.
Can't get away from that. the pains which he endured, our salvation have procured. And again, this salvation, it's the, I said a minute ago to you during the break that one of the things I wished I'd said earlier about salvation, I'm going to say it now, about our triumphant holy day from the earlier stanza, day, the resurrection of Christ put him into a day that has no evening. The day without evening in the kingdom of our Father is the way an ancient liturgy puts it. And this is his eternal life. He has a life over which there are no sunsets, a life which goes on forever. You know, have you ever had one of those perfect days? I've become a runner. I love running. And to me, the blue sky above, a nice wind, not a big wind, a nice wind, and the beautiful sound of the birds, and what a beautiful world. And you go through, you think, oh, Lord, how wonderful it is to be your guest in this world. And then just as you said to me a few minutes ago, and yet it's only the teasing taste of what awaits. This is just the littlest bit of the joy that will be ours. So the salvation that he's won for us is the ability to share with him this unending life, this unending kingdom and joy in his Father's presence. It's what his suffering bought us.
There's something of the great exchange in this stanza.
Yeah.
He gets pain, we get salvation.
We get salvation, yeah, yeah. In fact, Johann Gerhardt, he had a huge section on this. He talk about exchange. Here he goes. The master dies instead of the servant. In place of the debtors, the faithful one. The physician dies for the good of the patient. The shepherd rescues his sheep. The king dies for the sins of his subject. The peacemaker for the warriors. The creator dies for his creation. God himself wins man's salvation. What now should the servant, the debtor, the sick one, the sheep, the nation, the multitude do? What should the creature mankind do? In love, extol his Redeemer for the great exchange. He, you know, this, or as old Ed Schrader likes to call it, the sweet swap.
Now above the sky, he's king. There's so much misunderstanding, Will, on what it means that Christ reigns, what it means that Christ is king. And we do every Sunday proclaim him to be king. What does it really mean rather than tyrant? Even a benevolent tyrant, but tyrant or boss or dictator, what does it mean that Christ is king?
For him to be king, we're saying he's the one who has all power and all authority in heaven and earth. So he is actually governing all circumstances, and he governs them for the well-being and blessing of his people, the church. That gives a Christian an incredible confidence as they live in this world. And he continually governs things in ways that seem really weird to us. We always think of the Joseph cycle in Genesis to get a handle on how God rules things. Okay, Joseph gets a promise. You're going to be great, and your brothers are going to bow down in front of you. And then God proceeds to deliver the promise to him. And how does he deliver the promise to him? By having his brothers, what? Betray him, throw him into a pit, strip him of his clothes, sell him. And then when he's a foreigner in a foreign land and being faithful to God and seeking to do God's will, he gets falsely accused, thrown into prison. And as he's there, he does good to people who promptly forget all about him and don't do it. Can you imagine if he's sitting there thinking, well, how, the God of Israel governs all things and he made me this promise. Where, where is it coming true? And then. The moment comes when he is there and lifted up and exalted before Pharaoh, and then the moment when his brothers show up on the ground in front of him, and God saying, "See, I told you so."
Remember that dream?
Remember that dream? And so God governs all things to bring blessing. And Joseph proclaimed that to his brothers. He said, "You intended it against me for evil, but God intended it for good to bring about this thing that has happened, the saving of many lives alive."
I can never hear about the Joseph story without seeing it as a template that is built off the suffering,
the passion
of Christ.
And
will there come a day when we will be gathered in the presence of Christ our King, and he will say something similar to, "You meant it for ill, but I meant it for good.
Oh, I believe that our at the great day of the resurrection, when every knee bow, the resurrection of all flesh, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, he'll be saying, you know, yeah, you were trying to wipe me out, get rid of me, and I'm trying to bring you into this life that had no end. And see, I did it through your very act of your, you know, the foolish act, which turned out to be the greatest act of salvation in the world, the suffering and death of the Son of God.
Here is the fourth and final stanza, a doxology, if you will, to end the hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Sing we to our God above, Alleluia, praise eternal as his love, Alleluia, praise him all ye heavenly hosts, Alleluia, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Alleluia. What does this phrase mean, praise eternal as his love?
The unending love, the uncaused love of God is going to call forth from his people a song of praise to match the own eternity of God's love. As his love for us has no end, we cannot fathom its depths. In fact, C.S. Lewis once put it this way. He said, behind grace or God's love. He says it's just an unfathomable act of divine giving, an uncaused act. I mean, there's nothing in us. We always want it to be something else. We want to say, well, you know, he loves me because I'm lovable. And it's like, no, he loves you because he is an unfathomable abyss of divine love, you know, and it pours forth this calls forth this great praise. And the praise doesn't end. It goes on and on and on forever. And, you know, it's one of those moments when the end of the hymn comes, you're like, oh, don't stop. That gets you the feeling for it, you know, the praise that keeps on going.
But this love is not an abstraction.
No.
It's an event. It's a person. Talk about that.
The love is himself, you know, is manifested in what God gave. And we can speak of love as a person, both, you know, love is the person of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He is love. I mean, John is very clear about that in his first epistle. God is love. It's not that he has love. It's what he is. He is this love. And the church really rejoices in this on the great vigil of Easter. There's this line in the Exalted, this hymn of praise that begins that service. Oh, how wonderful and beyond all telling is your mercy to us, O God, that to redeem a slave you gave your Son. I mean, we stand before the mystery of what he did, and we're like, how could you possibly have done that for people who hated you? How? And his answer is only, I am who I am. It's who I am. I love you. I love you. You can't make me hate you. I love you. That's what the whole event of the suffering, the death, the resurrection, the glorification, ascension, and glorification of Jesus proclaims, is that God has lavished on humanity an unimaginable love.
With only 30 seconds, the triune name is not simply tacked on here for no reason. We do not know the Trinity apart from the resurrection of Christ.
Yeah, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, everything about his whole life was, you know, the Father sends the Son, and the Son sends the Spirit, and the Spirit brings us to the Son, who then at the end of all things, as Paul said, presents us to the Father. Yeah, no, the Trinity is not accidental here. You can never have a right Christology, a right teaching about Christ, without having a right Trinitarian theology. They go hand in hand together.
When we come back, we're going to hear the entire hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today, and we'll get Pastor Will Wheaton's final thoughts on this hymn. He said something very early in our conversation, and I think he said it before with regard to other days that the church celebrates. So few Easters in this life, and yet one that is coming that never ends. We'll be right back.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org. Well, I'm going to have to catch up on my sleep. I don't know if I can front-load sleep for what's coming up next week. We're calling it Issues Etc. 24 because it's going to be a live 24-hour Bible study from 4 in the afternoon on Wednesday, April the 14th, through 4 in the afternoon on Thursday, April the 15th. Issues Etc. 24 means 24 hours of live Bible study here on Issues Etc. with some of our very best regular guests, Bill Swirla, Lewis Brighton, Peter Scare, David Adams, Andrew Steinman, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, and others. Now, you can find out more about Issues Etc. 24 by watching our new YouTube video, issuesetc.org. Go to the support page, scroll down, you'll find that video, and send it to your friends. You can embed it, you can copy the link, and you can email it to your friends so they find out about Issues Etc. 24, and so that you can join us for Issues Etc. 24, Wednesday, April the 14th through Thursday, April the 15th, live at issuesetc.org. We're studying the Easter hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. Before we hear the entire thing, you said before that there are, if you count them up, not a lot of Easters allotted to each of us in our short time here in this life. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's always shocking when you stop and think about it. We don't think of our life in those terms. We think about the day by day by day, and we think, well, we got a lot of days. Well, you know, you really don't, especially if you think about an event that happens once a year. You'll participate in very few Christmases and very few Easters in a given lifetime. And yet, because of Easter, we are looking forward to an Easter feast that does not end. And so what Easter itself is a little foretaste of a piece of the future broken off and given to us as a teasing taste of what is coming, where the praise will not die, where that sun will not set, where all things will be made. Remember, Jesus says in the book of Revelation, he says, "Behold, I make all things new." And in that comfort and in that confidence, we can go forward towards our death or towards whatever is awaiting us.
One more thought then on the connection of the Lord's Supper with the celebration of Easter. When you said a little piece of the future broken off and given to us, I can't help but think about
the Lord's Supper,
the body of Christ. Your thoughts briefly.
There. The marriage feast of the Lamb. Think about it. Into our dying flesh goes the body and blood of him who is forever beyond death. I am the resurrection and the life. That goes into us as the promise, guarantee, and gift of our resurrections. We believe it.
Let's hear the entire Easter hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. And before we do, thanks to Mark Eicher of Lutheran Hour Ministries for providing us with this recording. The entire hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Pastor Whedon, your final thoughts.
David was right. We should never have an Easter service where we don't get to sing that. And you know, as beautiful as that wonderful recording was, I don't think it succeeds in conveying to people what it is to be in the midst of a congregation that is belting this thing out. There is such a palpable Easter joy that overflows at this particular divine service each year. Words fail. words fail, and that the only thing that can express it is that melismatic alleluia, you know, the joy of the presence of the risen Christ in our midst. Wonderful.
Pastor Will Wheaton is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, and he's right. To accommodate all of our listeners, you can watch a video of Pastor Whedon's congregation singing Jesus Christ is Risen today at our website, issuesetc.org. The next best thing to actually being there while they sing it, issuesetc.org. Folks, if you appreciate hymn studies like this one, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to help support this worldwide outreach. And for any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter sermons and Ascension sermons. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. Send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for keeping us in mind during the 40 days of Easter. Pastor Whedon, thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a joy.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Colleen Carroll Campbell about the sexual abuse scandals in the Roman Catholic Church. There isn't enough Easters. There aren't enough Easters. There aren't enough Sundays. There aren't enough days. I think that's how Christians, in the best of all possible circumstances, should think at the end of their life, as they anticipate entrance into the life that has no end in Jesus Christ. Finally, after a long life, there wasn't enough time in this life to utter that alleluia. We couldn't put enough notes on that word throughout an entire lifetime to sing praise to our God, to confess the name of the God who has from the very beginning, as Jesus tells us, been the God of the living, not of the dead. Whether it's Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, Jesus says, God of the living, not of the dead. The very God who uttered his divine name to Moses and his Old Testament people and led them through their slavery and out again, who brought them into this land, all trying to show them, all trying to teach them that one day he would do this greater for all mankind in his Son Jesus Christ, and gave them this word to utter, alleluia, which they did in praise of the one who was to come and redeem Israel finally, and along with Israel, all the world. But there isn't enough time in your life to do it. And yet, this is the great mercy and grace of our God, that he gives us our lives to do it here, and then he gives us that life that does not end, so that finally we will be able to open our mouths and sing those praises eternal as his love, solely by this gift of his grace in Jesus Christ. Easter is the season for remembering, first, what Christ has done. He endured the cross and its pain. He suffered to redeem our loss. He bore our sins there upon his cross. And then, having paid for all of them, once, finally, leaving no sin and no sinner, unredeemed, unpaid for, having rested in the tomb, he was raised from the dead. He lives. He is risen. Alleluia. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. And thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.